Good morning. Starting a new series this morning that I'm calling Run. And, you know, we're about to step into the month of May, and I think May 13th is Graduate Sunday, you know, where we celebrate our graduates, high school graduates and college graduates. And so I usually do one sermon just for them on that day, and I will then. But this, guys, let me just say to you, if you're a senior, if you're graduating, this whole series is a series for you. And so I want to encourage you to be here every Sunday through the month of May so you can allow God to begin to speak to you through His Word and get you ready to run the race that He's marked out for you. Really, it's a series for all of us, of course, right? The opportunity to really begin to get ready to step into the purpose and the future of what God has called us into as we allow the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit to blow over us and begin to empower us and change us. And we start giving the Holy Spirit permission to stir things up in us and begin to produce His fruit in us as we begin to discover the spiritual gifts that He has given us. Then we're ready to run the race that's marked out for us, right? We're ready to run the race, the purpose that He has called us for. And so this series is just a series on that passage in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to that passage, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. We'll be in that really throughout the whole series, and we'll just kind of begin to bring in some other passages of God's Word to kind of support what those verses share with us. But just want to encourage you to be here for that. And so kind of to set this series up, let me just take a moment to help us get a picture of what I want us to do this morning. I want you to imagine, as you look around, everyone in this room, I want you to imagine that we're all, right, we're all, every person in this room this morning, that we're ready to run this race, and we're all wearing our little running shorts, right? You know, those little itty-bitty nylon shorts or whatever they are. We're all kind of at the starting line. That's not a good picture, is it? You know, that's not a good picture. To choose who you want to get behind, right? Choose who you want to get behind. But we're standing there at the starting line, ready to go, and the gun goes off, and we're running, and the wind feels so good in our faces, right? And life is good, and we're with friends, and we're going, and, you know, and it's just great. But somewhere along the line, you know, you're going to start getting a little tired, a little exhausted for most of us, or some of us, I guess that would be about 100 yards in, right? You start just, you know, getting exhausted, your legs start feeling like just lead, you know, and you're trying to keep going, and you start getting a stitch in your side. Anybody get a stitch? Anybody ever got a stitch in your side? It's like it's beginning to hurt you, and you begin to notice as we continue this race, and it's not a sprint. I mean, it's a marathon that we're involved in, and you begin to notice that people are already kind of pulling out on the side and falling out and giving up, and there's going to come a point during the race that you and I will be confronted with the decision, will I go on, right? Will I finish the race that God has? Will I finish well? So this whole series is a series on, you know, how do we keep going? You know, how do we keep going with the power of the Holy Spirit around us? How do we endure so that we live a life that is pleasing to Him, and that we finish well, and that we run when it comes to our relationship with God and others? And to do that, I kind of want us to go back and begin to look at that group of people there and in the Scripture, in the book of Hebrews, who have faced a very similar kind of situation. They're a group of people in the first century, and they've just come out of Judaism. And they now have embraced Christ, and they got off to a great start. In fact, listen to the words of the writer here in Hebrews 10, 32. He says to them, to the readers, he says, and the listeners, he says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. And so they got off to this great start. They've embraced Christ. But now they'd hit a crisis point. And here's the problem, right? They're in danger of turning back. They have been pressured to go back into Judaism, and things have gotten hard in their walk, and they're really just considering throwing in the towel and giving up. And I think that's why the writer of Hebrews here in chapter 12, that's what he begins to write in. I'm trying to encourage them and plead with them. Don't give up. Don't give up. Look in verse 1. We'll just start there and go through verse 3. The writer says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus," right? "The pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured," right? "He endured the cross, suffering, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And that's what the writer of Hebrews is encouraging us even today. You know, he said, hey, don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. And I begin to think, you know, where do you look? Where do you and I look when things are broken? When things fall apart, you know, where do you turn? What happens when you know you can't solve, this by yourself? What do you do? I mean, do you set your eyes on the problem, on the hurdles, the heartache, and just try to face the challenges on your own? Or do you set your eyes on Jesus? Do you fix your eyes on him and trust him? Even when you don't see the resolution, or even when you don't understand his plan, where do you set your eyes? And the writer tells us to set our eyes on Jesus. When we're facing those hurdles, when we're facing those problems, those uncertainties, we must take our eyes off the things that hinder us, off those circumstances that kind of weigh us down, and set our eyes on Jesus so that we do not grow weary and lose heart. And this will be the verse that we'll be in over the next few weeks, the verses. And I want us, as we go through this, to allow God to encourage, and for us to encourage one another to not give up, to keep going, to run the race God has for us. So I begin to think about that. I begin to think about all the people that I have opportunity to sit down with, right? And people that have struggles, and they have different trials and stuff that they're dealing with, And I think in those moments, what I try to do, I try to encourage and speak God's word into their circumstances, right? That's what I want to do. And so as I look back on those meetings, the ones that are scheduled, and, you know, there's a meeting scheduled, and the ones that kind of just happen, maybe on the ball field or in the grocery store. You know, you want to know why sometimes pastors hide in the grocery stores? Because sometimes God uses those moments when people walk up and can I talk to you? And you're holding the cereal box, and they just kind of begin to share their heart and their troubles and their struggles. Even in those moments, right? Even in those spontaneous moments, I begin to think, what I share in those moments. And here's what I realized. I realized that I essentially say the same thing to all of them. The application is different according to their circumstances, right? According to their situation. But really, it's the same message. It's the same message. What do you think? What do you think is the one thing that most of them need to hear? I'll just give you some examples of those conversations. When I have someone, somebody that's married, and they come in and they begin to talk about how their marriage is struggling and they feel like just quitting and giving up. Or maybe, it's when a person comes in, a guy comes in and says, "Hey, I'm out of work and I just keep interviewing and getting rejected, and I just don't know what's the next step's going to be." Or those that come in and say, "I am so discouraged over my past, the mistakes that I've made in my past, the things that, the choices that I made, I just can't seem to get over those and begin to move on." Or, I'm losing this battle over this sickness, over cancer in my life, and it's, I'm just, I'm depressed. I'm struggling where God is. And, you know, or maybe when the person comes in and said, you know, I had an affair and it's just really destroying my family. And I don't think we're going to make it. Or, you know, those that want to get pregnant and they just can't seem to for that to happen in their lives, and they, you know, they don't understand what's going on there, and they, you know, and they just, you know, why? Those that are under financial pressure, you know, they've just in debt, and they you know, they made some mistakes and spending habits and stuff like that, and now they're overwhelmed by that, and they want to do what is right, and they just, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to get out from under it. You know, and I could go on and on and on. You know, what should I say? What is it that do you think they need to hear? What do you need in that moment? When you're overwhelmed, when you're discouraged, what do you need? And I know that you need encouragement, right? But what does that look like? What does that really look like? Is it Mr. Rogers? You know, do I pull, you know, my little sweater and put it on, and is it that kind of approach where I, you know, just have a gentle smile and a kind word and say, you know, I'm so sorry, life is so hard. Because I think we need that, right? We need that encouragement. But as I thought about it, what I think we really need in those moments is not a Mr. Rogers. What we really need is a, you know, kind of a William Wallace from Braveheart, right? Because what happens in those times, people want comfort, right? And they want encouragement. They want Mr. Rogers. But what they need, sometimes what they need is somebody with a painted face and a strong voice saying, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Get back in the game. Fight the fight. Run the race you have. Run the race. You know, and it's hard. And listen, I know sometimes we're tired and, you know, you don't feel like you can do it. Keep going. Keep going, because you can, with God's help and with the Holy Spirit's power behind, you can fight another day. So today, we're not going to quit, right? We're going to keep going on. That's the message. That's the message. Don't get me wrong. We all need some Mr. Rogers in our lives, right? We all need those people in our lives. We need that. But most of us, when we're tired and weary, we don't need someone to say, hey, why don't you just go sit on the bench, you know, and just rest a while and take a break. No, I really believe we need someone to say, hey, stay in the game. Stay in the game. You can do this. Not by yourself or in your own strength or power, but you can do this by the power of God working in you. And so begin to, you know, give the Holy Spirit permission to stir some things up in you and begin to guide you and direct you. Don't give up. Keep going. Hold fast, right? Never quit. It's not time to tap out or bail out. That's not what God has called us, what He's called you to do. So if you've been white-knuckling it and you're about to lose your grip, let's tap into the power of the Holy Spirit and the strength that we can find in God to have the faith to persevere. To persevere. And maybe you're here this morning and you have kind of that different voice speaking to you right now in your head that's saying discouraging words. No encouragement, no, you can do it, hang in there. You know, and you're hearing words like, you just need to let go. You just need to let go. Or, you know, nothing's going to work. Are you kidding me? You know, it's too late. God doesn't care. Do you really believe God cares? You deserve this. Come on, you deserve it. It's what you get for the way you have lived. And maybe those are the voices you're hearing. And when you begin to feel that way, you really want somebody to feel sorry for you, right? You really begin to want somebody to wallow in the same dirt that you're wallowing in. We want that. And when we don't get it, sometimes we get mad or we get upset. But what we often need more than comfort is courage. What we often need more than sympathy is strength. Strength. And really, as you read the New Testament, that's the message kind of all the way through the New Testament. Especially, it's the tone of the Hebrew writer that speaks courage into discouragement, not necessarily comfort. There's some of that there, but mostly he speaks, or she speaks, courage. You'll see along the way that, you know, the writer is always saying, let us do this, let us, you know, and it's about together. We're better together. Let us run this race. Many years ago, my youngest son, Jacob, was on a basketball team. I think it was probably in their JV seasons, and they would have summer camps, and they would get involved in these tournaments and where they would play all day long, and you guys have experienced that. And one summer, this group of guys were, you know, playing, and they were doing really well, and they'd won the last game, and now they were kind of in the final game, and it was at the end of the day, and they were tired, and some of them weren't feeling good. Some of them were saying, you know, I'm sick, I really don't feel, you know, and really wanting you to say, well, okay, well, let's just, you know, we got this far, it's good, you know, it's good enough, right? It's good enough. And in the middle of the last game, you know, one of the coaches, and you've had coach tell you this, you know, share this kind of talk with you. He kind of, I mean, I'm just there, I'm Mr. Rogers to him, right? I'm trying to go, okay, yeah, okay, coach, this guy's not feeling right. And the coach kind of stands up, gets them all together, and says, listen. You guys have done unbelievable, beyond what we even expected. And, you know, so there's encouragement, right? But he didn't say, go, okay, so you can see it. No. He kind of, I call it the, you know, step it up. He used another word, but I'm going to use step it up. Step it up. Talk, right? Because he started with that, like, you gotta it up, right? And he goes, listen, the game's not over. Yeah, when the game's over, when we get finished with this game, well, then we'll rest. You know, then we'll kind of relax, and then we'll kind of have fun. But the game's not over, okay? So listen, you got to step it up right now, all right? You got to get back in the game and give me everything you have, because the game's not over. And until the game is over, we're gonna give it our all. So he looked at those little boys and he said, so step it up. And use a different word. But, you know, and it was like, and they went out and they didn't win. But anyway, they didn't give up. I wish I could have said they won and everybody went crazy. But no, didn't happen. You know, because life's that way sometimes. But they never gave up until the game was over. Right? We need some courage, like, spoken into our hearts and in our souls like that, I think, sometimes. The word encouragement, if you look it up, it simply means words spoken that make someone feel better. Words spoken that make someone feel better. But really, encouragement that's throughout the Bible means to be filled with courage. To be filled with courage. I mean, that's Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. You know, just filling him with courage. And so really, I think what the definition of encouragement really is speaking words that fill the soul with courage. With courage. And so the writer of Hebrews writes to plead with him, stay in the race. And it's kind of hard, I think, for us to even really grasp the kind of urging and pleading that's going on here. And so I want you to kind of even begin to look beyond the words and listen to what the writer's saying, and, you know, how he's pleading with those people, and I think pleading with us, stay in there. Keep going. Because the implication is these readers right here, these people are growing weary, and they will lose heart if they're not careful. And I think the writer knows that. He knows that will happen. If not now, the writer knows it's coming. That they're going to feel discouraged, overwhelmed, beat down. And when they do, he begins to tell them what they need to do. Here's what you need to do. In those moments that you're in the race, you know, that God's Holy Spirit is there with you, this is what you need to do. And he kind of starts with, you know, remember, we are surrounded by witnesses. We're surrounded by witnesses. I mean, if we're going to run a good race, we have to find strength from those who have gone before us. In verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and I think in order to understand what he's talking about, in order to grasp it, when we see a therefore, you got to begin to ask the question, what is that therefore? And so we have to go back to Hebrews 11. Because in Hebrews 11, there's this long listing of what is effectively an all-star team of Christianity. It's the hall of faith, so to speak, right? It contains a long list of some people who you would know very well from stories in the Bible, like Moses and Abraham. But also in this list are people that we don't know very well. We know very little about. But they all have one thing in common. They all have this unswerving faith and belief in God that they're not willing to let go of. They would never quit or walk away from their trust in God. And sometimes they were ridiculed for their faith. Sometimes they were mistreated. Sometimes God called them to leave their families and go to foreign lands. Some of them even paid the ultimate price of giving their life for their faith. It says in chapter 11, verse 13, that they were still living by faith when they died. When their race was over, they were still pressing on and leaning in when it came to their faith. Just because they followed God, they didn't mean that they lived this comfortable life. And in fact, a lot of times it was quite the contrary. Often their life of faith meant sacrifice and hardship. But I think when God looks at this list, I know when he looks at it, I mean, verse 38 in chapter 11, he thinks so highly of these people that he says about them, the world was not worthy of them. The world was not worthy of them. Wow, right? The world was not worthy of these men and women. They lived a life of such incredible character and faith that God says that the world didn't even deserve for them to be here. And he writes about our race, the writer does, and he says, hey, listen, these men and women, they serve as an example and an encouragement to us. They are witnesses of perseverance when it comes to the race of faith. Many years ago, I went to a men's conference called Promise Keepers over in the St. Pete area. I think it was maybe even at the Thunderdome at that time. I can't even remember, but it was just like 50,000 men. It was early on in the Promise Keepers movement. About 50,000 men gathered there in that stadium. And we had somehow got on the floor on one of the nights, and we were sitting there and looking around. It was just like men all around us, you know. And T.D. Jakes was there as one of the speakers, if you know him or, you know, are familiar with him. And he gets up there and he begins to, you know, he begins to share. And as he began, you know, the intensity of his message, you know, grew stronger and stronger and stronger as only he could do it. And then all of a sudden he would stop and he would look at the crowd and he would say, can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? And of course, they all knew what he meant. I mean, I was kind of like looking around. And he said, you know, and what he was asking was simply, is there anybody here that can testify that what I'm saying is true? Is there anybody in this room that knows what I'm talking about? And people, you know, men begin to raise their hand, you know, and they shout back to him and say, I can testify. You're right. I can tell you it's true. It's true in my life, you know. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of backing up. And every time I look at this verse, these verses in Hebrews 12, I go back to that moment. Standing there in that stadium and just, you know, hearing him shout, can I get a witness? And men begin to raise their hand and begin to share from their heart. And I think that's kind of what's going on here. I'm taking a little liberty with my translation or understanding, but I really believe that's what's going on here in chapter 12. The author of Hebrews is sitting with a congregation much like ours, and he's telling them, persevere. Stay with it. Finish the race. And then in the middle of that, he says, can I get a witness, right? Can I get a witness? Can someone testify to that? And I just picture Noah raising his hand and saying, hey, I can testify to that. I mean, go back to Hebrews 11 and look at verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, he's warned about the flood coming and he hadn't even seen rain yet, right? And so in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, he built an ark. You know how long it took him to build the ark? You know how long that project was? 120 years. Now that's a project there. Can you imagine having to do a honey-do list and the project takes you 120 years? I mean, there's going to be some argument going on in that, right, before that's done. 120 years. Building a boat for a flood that he'd never even seen rain. You got to believe that people around him think he's crazy, even his family, going, "What are you doing, Dad? Come on, what's going on? You're embarrassing me." And all he's trying to do is what God has called him to do. And he sees you and me running the race. And I think he might say, "I know you're tired. I know the progress is slower than you thought it would be. But listen, the rain will come." Someone once said, "God is rarely early, but he's never late. And you can trust him, even when it seems like you can't." We just sang the song here, or Jessica sang it for us, you know, about he is good. He is good. You know, he'll never let me down. And I just feel, you know, saying that maybe some of you are in here going, I don't know if he's good right now for me. You know, and maybe right now you're in a moment, you're in a season of your life where you just feel like, you know, maybe he's letting you down, right? Listen, I think faith is sometimes waiting, even if you're not sure how it's going to come together. Just keep being obedient to what God has asked you to do. And I promise you, he will never let you down. And I know that's hard, because we want God to be on our calendars, right? But here's the thing about God. He doesn't have to check your calendar to see what he needs to do. He has his own calendar, right? And I think we forget that sometimes, and I think that's where discouragement can set in. You know, there's these two separate calendars, and we are focused on our calendar. And when things don't happen the way we think they should happen, and when things don't happen the way we think they should, you know, and when they should happen, we are tempted to quit and to give up. Because, hey, listen, things are supposed to be different now. Things should have already happened by now. And yet God's not looking at your calendar. And Noah would say, while you're waiting, just keep working. I know you're tired, but don't give up. Don't give up. I mean, I know maybe you're trying to be a witness at work, and it's really nobody's responding to you. Hey, it's where you are. It's the race that's marked out for you. Just keep sharing. I know you're trying to reach out to your neighbor across the street, but you're not getting any feedback, right? Just keep serving. Just keep serving him. I know you're trying maybe to rebuild your marriage, right? And you just don't see it, you know, turning around. And hey, don't give up. Trust God. Stick with it. Don't give up. Some of the words of encouragement I think Noah would share with us. You know, he'd first say, you know, your world was just messed up as mine was, right? I mean, he'd see that. He'd get that. And I think he would say, don't be afraid to stand out in a crowd. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to stand out. You guys are about to graduate, you seniors, and you're going to go into a new place, a new environment, a new area, and you have opportunity to keep running your race, the race that's marked out for you, you know, and continue to persevere in that, and it's going to be a different crowd. Don't be afraid to stand out in that crowd for Jesus. I think sometimes the reason we don't make a difference in the world that God has called us to is because we are not different. And I've said that before, right? It's because we're not different. And Noah said, hey, man, don't be afraid to stand out and be different. Don't be afraid to make those choices. To say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to be committed to. Don't be afraid to live out your faith. He'd say also, don't be afraid to do something for the very first time, right? He'd say, hey, don't be afraid. Maybe God's calling you to do something you've never done before, you know, and you think, I don't know, you know, I've been doing this spiritual gift assessment, and I don't, you know, hey, don't be afraid. Just step out in faith and be obedient to God. Be obedient to God. Be more concerned about obeying God than looking foolish. Don't quit. Step up. Take a risk. Right? Slow down. Whatever God is calling you to do. And then I think he would say, when you see a rainbow, remember that one person can make a difference. My favorite part of the Noah story is, and everybody knows it's when the waters receded, right? And God gave Noah this covenant sign. And he said, Noah, when you see a rainbow, remember one person can make a difference. I mean, he was the only one that found favor in God's eye at that time. And God, you know, he's saying, I'm with you. And so when I see a rainbow, I hear God saying, I promised Noah that I would never destroy the earth by water again. And it's kind of like God saying to me, I promise, Monty, on those days when you feel overwhelmed, I'm with you. I mean, I'm with you. And one of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Matthew 28:20, where it says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I think Abraham and Sarah would stand up and say, hey, I can testify. I can be a witness. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham packed up everything and traveled to a distant land, but God didn't tell him where he was going. And he went. He went without knowing where he was going. And listen, that takes faith. That takes faith. And some of you are in that situation. You're trying to be obedient to God. You're pretty sure you're headed in the right direction, in the direction he wants you to go. But you're really not sure where it's all heading and where it's all going to end up. And God's not telling you. Listen, it's an opportunity for faith. For faith. And in Sarah, I love this, in verse 11 it says, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, Abraham, and he is as good as dead. I love that he put that in there. This dude's old. He's as good as dead. You know, I mean, that's got several meanings. He's as good as dead. He's as good as dead. But even through him came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. Sarah believed God would keep his promise. It didn't make sense on paper. Physically, it seemed impossible. But God said it, and what God says he'll do, he'll do. And so the challenge is not to give up when you do not know what or where or when it's going to happen. And sometimes we have this fear of the future, and we don't know how it's going to work, and it kind of just paralyzes us, right? And we stop moving forward. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I mean, we don't know the future. You can't see how it's going to fit in your story, but you keep moving forward. You keep moving forward. This past January, I guess, is when the Winter Olympics were on, and Kim and I were watching the Winter Olympics, and I love the downhill skiing, and we were watching the Super G. I don't know what that means. I Googled it and tried to figure it out. I still don't know what the Super G. But anyway, it's going fast downhill. And so what was amazing to me is they don't get to practice on that slope that day, right? They can walk it and see, you know, and kind of get a feel for it, but they don't get the actual practice on that day. But what happens is, you know, the first people that go down, if you're, you know, like the USA, and you got some teammates that are going down first, what they can do is they can call back up. They can call back up and kind of radio back up to you and kind of say, hey, you need to watch this. You need to be aware of this. You know, here's some unexpected challenges you will face here. I mean, here's some places right here on this curve. You remember, you know, you can pick up speed right here. I mean, here's a turn that's sharper than we thought it was. Be careful. And so when they finish the race, they kind of call back up to their team. This is what you need to be aware of. And I think that's what's happening here in this passage. These men and women have finished the race, and they're calling back. You know, you're going to have this turn in your life where you thought it was going to go right, but it's going to go left. There will be this season. Listen, there will be this season of life where you thought it was going to be fast and it's going to be slow. There will be this moment when everything looks out of control and you just need to lean in. Just lean into that turn. Lean in. I mean, you're going to feel like you're out of control. Just lean in to your God. And they're letting us know what the course is like, and they're speaking and saying, hey, you can have faith because the same God that helped us finish the race is the same God that is with you. And so Abraham and Sarah, they would say, don't complicate God's promise with your solution. Just trust Him. You know, and Abraham and Sarah try to do it. Don't do that. Don't get all caught up and, you know, you just trust God. Even if it takes a long time, even if it seems ridiculous, even if those around you don't trust God. Don't try. Don't try to get ahead of God even when He isn't moving fast enough for you. You want to be one of my witnesses? All right, brother. You can testify, right?
Believe me, that's where we all want to go. We want to get our faith in order to do what's right and come to church and listen to Monty because he is a real believer. And I know that I've never done this before except once. I did it during a funeral, and I feel foolish sometimes, but I know that the Lord will be with all of us if we just have the faith. And He's been with me and drugged me through all this, and I praise Him every day. Bless you all.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah, so thank you, Bob. You can go through this whole list of men and women in Hebrews 11, and you can see many of them that, you know, they failed in significant ways, like you and I fail. I mean, the Bible even seems to go out of the way to kind of include some of these stories, some of their stories, and they were heroes of the faith. I mean, they had blew it significantly, but they kept the faith, and God still did His work. And I think what they would say as a group to us, and if we were standing in the arena and we're just looking around all those that have gone before us, the heroes of the faith, and maybe not just the ones here in this list here, but maybe even those people God has placed in your lives along the way, like a Bob Sawyer, that would kind of come around and together just begin to chant at us, to us, and just begin to chant, don't give up, don't give up. Don't give up. And it just ring across the stadium of our life. And we would hear that, and, you know, and it would encourage us to continue the race that God has called us to, that He has marked out just for us. And we would do it with perseverance, never giving up. That'd be the first thing they'd say. Don't give up. And I think the second thing they would say is, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. I mean, they would say, we did this, we struggled, we suffered, we sacrificed, and now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. So keep the faith. Don't give up. Run. Run the race that He has called you to. Pray with me, please. Every head bowed and just every eye closed so that you can just focus on God's Spirit speaking into your heart this morning. And you can just allow the stories of the great witnesses, those heroes of the faith, you can allow God to use those people and use the Bobs in our life to speak into our hearts, even in this moment. And maybe you're here this morning, and it's not by accident. I mean, God has ordained this moment for you. And maybe you've never just said yes to Him and invited Him into your life to be your Lord, to be your Savior. And here, in this place right now, His Holy Spirit is pulling you into that relationship and saying, hey, I love you. I demonstrated that love to you through the sacrifice of my Son, the greatest witness that we have. He died on a cross for you so that you could be forgiven of your sins and so that you could come and become a child of God, to be His child. And so that's where the race begins, is to for you this morning, it's maybe just to say yes to Him and to ask Him to come in, to be your Lord, to be your Savior, to forgive you of the stuff in your past, to fill you with His Spirit and begin to transform you and change you so that you, like these listed here in God's Word, so that you can be a hero of the faith, so that you can begin to live out the race God has called you with perseverance. So that you can step out in faith and be a witness and a testimony to others. So right now, right where you sit, just in your own heart, in your own mind, with your own words, just say, God, come in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Begin to change me. To the man, the woman, the young person, God, that you've called me and created me to be.